KXEI celebrates International Women's Day. I wanna see you
be brave. Hi, this is Kelly Fryer, the CEO of the YWCA of Southern Arizona. In celebration of International Women's Day and Women's History Month, I'm interviewing local changemakers. I'm here with Josefina Ahumada, who is the field education coordinator at the School of Social Work here in Tucson for ASU. And she is one of the plaintiffs in the Majors versus Jeans court case, in which Arizona's discriminatory marriage ban was struck down. She is a change maker. Hi, Josefina.
Hi, Kelly.
So one of the things that I know you've really been focused on currently is the work of really training up the next generation of activists and community organizers and change makers here in Tucson and Pima County. What motivates you to do that work?
Well, if I go back in time, what motivates me or what initially motivated me, I was 19 years old and I lived through the Watts riots in LA. I grew up in Los Angeles. And that was quite a horrific experience to see our neighborhood literally burnt to the ground and have the National Guard surround our neighborhood. I don't really think I had quite a social consciousness prior to that, but definitely after that. And I think the biggest question in my mind was, would I be, as they say, part of the solution? And to be part of the solution, what would it take? Work in the system, outside the system? And I think I've been struggling with that all my life.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because definitely institutions are there and they provide pathways to make change in society, but you also have to be outside the institutions to also create change. And so I feel as if I led a dual life. I'm a professional social worker. I received my degree, a master's of social work from UCLA. I worked in behavioral health 24 years before I went to the university, where I've been the last 17 years. And definitely within the institution of behavioral health agencies and currently in academia, one works in those pathways. But that can also be constraining, and it's important, I believe, to also be in the community, kind of working without a net, so to speak. When I think about where I am in my life now, I'm not that 19-year-old now. In fact, this June I turned 70.
No one would believe that to look at you.
Well, this is the new 70,
That's right. As
one would say. I feel like now my task is passing on what I know and sharing stories to the younger generation and giving a boost up. In fact, this morning I had the wonderful opportunity to write a letter of reference and support for a young 13-year-old who wants to go to a Cesar Chavez leadership camp this coming summer. And it just felt so great to be able to help make a connection. Here's this resource that will help this young woman further develop as a leader, helping her make that connection to get into that program. And so I see myself now at this point, that's what I need to be doing, sharing what I know. And also you learn from a younger generation. They are experiencing not quite the same things that I experienced as a 19-year-old or 20-some-year-old. So there's a lot to learn from them as well. So I think being in an academic setting, I do have that wonderful opportunity to have exchange with younger social workers and having a common passion, which is one of social justice. We just might be coming at it differently because we're of different generations.
No, one of the things that I know about you is that you really take to heart that idea that the personal is political. And I'm sure that's one of the things that you're really passing on. Give me an example of how that's played out for you in your life.
Well, you mentioned earlier that I'm the plaintiff in the marriage equality lawsuit here in Arizona in 2014. And if the personal was ever political, that was it. I became a plaintiff in that lawsuit because in January 2014, I lost my partner 22 years.
Wow.
Helen died of a cardiac condition. She had open heart surgery and did not recover from that. So you can imagine it's a very painful experience. We were together 22 years. We were happily married. In October 2013, we traveled over to New Mexico to be married because marriage was not legal here for same-sex couples here in Arizona. So on her passing, you do all these arrangements, including applying for a death certificate. And what I learned is that I could not list myself as Helen's spouse. I thought because we had been married in New Mexico, where it was legal, that Arizona would recognize our marriage, and that was not true. So my stepson also applied for the death certificate. Now, I was very stubborn. I could have listed myself as a friend, but I felt that I could not do that with integrity. So I applied as spouse, and Jack applied as son. And a few days later, while we're sitting at our dining room table with our pastor preparing Helen's memorial service, I get this phone call, and it's a funeral director telling me, "I'm so sorry, Josefina, but the state will not accept your application." So they accepted Jack's. So that was not only am I grieving, but now I have the state of Arizona saying
right.
They would not recognize this marriage. So I have a death certificate that says Helen, single, which I hope at some point to be able to change that now that same-sex marriage is legal in Arizona. So in late February, I received a phone call from my good friend Kent Burbank, who's also a plaintiff on the lawsuit, asking me if I would want to be on the lawsuit, which was very interesting because just a few weeks before that, I was talking with a friend saying, "What can I do? What can I do to challenge this? Should I be hiring a lawyer?" So I'm mulling this over, and my friend says, "Well, you know, you can't. That would just be way too much. It's kind of like you can't fight City Hall." So here comes this phone call. And I said, definitely, I would want to do that. I would want to for myself. And, you know, it's not Helen's past now, but it's all the people coming behind me. And I'm thinking about all the young women, all the young men that will come behind us and that we need to stand up. It's not just a personal story, but it's a story that hopefully can change society, make a social change. And so a lawsuit was filed in March, October of that year. The Arizona law was found unconstitutional. And then, of course, we all know what happened in June of 2015 when the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was legal.
In so many ways, the work that you're doing now and the work that you've been doing is about setting people up for what's next, mm-hmm. sort of setting the table for the next mm-hmm. generation, both making sure that policies and laws are in place and that are just for people who are coming up behind you, but also training up this next generation of activists and leaders. So that's sort of where you're at in your life. But I'm wondering, you know, you're 70 years
mm-hmm.
young.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What are you dreaming about? What's the next big project that you are ready to tackle?
Well, I'm still thinking about that. Definitely, I will continue doing the things that I'm doing. I just joined the board for the YWCA. I'm the board president for BorderLinks, which is a nonprofit education program, educating people about border issues. I'm active with my social work association, and I also sit on the academic review committee for the Arizona Board of Behavioral Health Examiners. So even if I did nothing else, those things would keep me pretty busy. But I am taking the time right now to explore. You're right, Kelly. I'm not to sit at home sitting in my rocking chair.
I can't even picture that.
That I will continue to be engaged in the community one way or another. And certainly being involved with young people. As you know, I've been involved with the House of Neighborly Service, particularly their summer camp program. So I'll continue with that as well. There's something very inspiring to be with young kids, either elementary school age kids or junior high and high school, passing on that baton, as well as it's very energizing. That's how I feel. I stay young at heart, encountering and appreciating the energy that these kids have. The House of Neighborly Service is in South Tucson, and for many kids, they have not been north of 22nd Street, and the house provides those opportunities for them to see the bigger world, to appreciate their barrio and the traditions they have, as well as what is outside the barrio. I can remember one camp day where there was Samantha, a little 11-year-old. She came to camp that morning, and she had a U of A T-shirt on, and I said, "Samantha, so you're a Wildcat fan?" She says, "Yes." And without any hesitation, she says, I am going to the University of Arizona, she said with great pride. And I thought, yeah, she will. She'll make it. And she'll make it there because there's grown-ups like myself and other folks involved in these camp programs and other after-school programs. That's the way it happens. Sometimes parents, they're working two or three jobs. They need help. They need support. So I guess this is where I put a plug in. Whenever you have extra time on your hands to volunteer so that you can help that next generation. When I think of Sasha, for whom I wrote that letter for this morning, she's very active in my church, which is how I know her. She's active with UNIDAS through the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona. She's a young grant maker through UNIDAS. And I was part of helping her make those connections. And I like to think that as she comes into her own adulthood, that she'll be helping others make connections. At the School of Social Work, I've been part of developing a Latino Cultural Competency Certificate Program that's been going now for about 10 years. And we have a scholarship. That's the Cesar Chavez Scholarship, where folks like myself, baby boomers, as we're retiring, you know, we need that up-and-coming generation of Spanish-speaking social workers. So I see that as part of my job. I'll continue in my retirement to help that younger generation, help do fundraising. That's what we're there for.
Josefina, it's been just wonderful to have you share your story. This is Josefina Ahumada. She is a changemaker in Tucson. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Support for KXEI and this special International Women's Day program is provided by Marshall Foundation. Marshall Foundation enhances the lives of Tucson and Pima County women and families through the support and charitable organizations involved in education, social services, and early childhood development. I wanna see-